Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus at York College, City University of New York. Welcome you to this March 25th, springtime now edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM. That's WBAI on the Pacifica Network, and that's in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's the York College radio station, which is also digitally plugged in to this and powerful discussion. At least we hope that's what it will be. First and foremost, to our listening audience, on a sad note, we want to send out our condolences to the family, listeners, supporters, one of the greatest journalists in the New York area, one of the finest journalists in the United States of America, for that matter, in Black America, none other than Bob Slade, who made his transition yesterday. There were tributes on WBLS all day yesterday. And, of course, Bob Slade was not only on the news side of WBLS, but also an integral part of the Open Line team, which brought powerful news information and discussion with the audience on WBLS every Sunday. So we just want to send out our heartfelt condolences to the family and friends. We had opportunities to interview him a couple of times on Vantage Point. He had an encyclopedic memory. I really enjoyed when he would take us back to the music stuff. I mean, he could remember music, I mean, any group, anywhere, any era. But he was really multifaceted. And from listening to the tributes, he really opened the door for lots of journalists and was a constant mentor to many. So again, our condolences to the family. Well, today we're going to continue our focus on gentrification. Again, a major summit on gentrification, emergency summit on gentrification. And that's April 4th to the 6th in Newark, New Jersey. The public program, however, will be on April 5th, a national town hall meeting. The host of that town hall meeting, or the host of Make It Plain, the moderator, Mark Thompson, will be joining us later. But we'll talk about that more, but it will be at the Performing Arts Center, is Ballroom A at the Campus Center. That'll be April 5th at 7 o'clock p.m. Shop doors will open at 6 o'clock p.m. You don't want to miss the town hall meeting on gentrification, the Negro removal program of the 21st century. Where do we go from here? Hosted by the Honorable Roz J. Baraka, special keynote speaker, Danny Glover, who needs no introduction. And we have a tremendous panel lined up for our listening audience. And it looks like hopefully WBAI you're going to be live streaming it. And I think WBAI will be plugging into the live stream. But we want you to stream over there and get to New Jersey Institute of Technology, a fine, fine facility. Well, our first guest is dealing with the issue of gentrification. In fact, I dubbed it the whole title of Beloved Streets to Combat Gentrification. And he has a story to, in fact, tell, a tremendous story to tell in terms of, and these are some of the people we've been discovering from all over the country. His name is Melvin White, and Melvin White is the founder and the director, president, CAO, and all that good stuff of the Beloved Streets Project. Melvin White, welcome to Vantage Point here in New York.
Hello, Dr. Daniels. Thanks for having me out today to speak on this very important initiative that we have here at hand. And I want to thank you for having me on your show today.
Oh, no. Your story is so compelling. But I got to first ask you a little bit about yourself. Are you a native from St. Louis, or did you migrate in? Just give us a little background.
Okay, a little background. Now, I'm born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri. Postal employee, 20 years of the United States Postal Service, Air Force veteran. And actually working at the post office is when the actual vision of revitalization of MLK Street came about. So it's a brief history and
Okay, and also you're educated there and everything?
Yes.
Educated in the city, public schools, or just give us a little bit of your background.
I went to a school here called Hazelwood East High School. I did a little EMT work at Washington University. Just did a little work in St. Louis as far as my educational background. After I graduated from high school, I went to the military. So, my educational background is just basically EMT work after I graduated and then came right into the United States Postal Service. So,
all right. And the Postal Service, you talk about that was where you decided to launch this project. So, but give us, tell us what it is that inspired you or motivated you to launch Beloved Streets. What was it? A lot of people see stuff and they don't do anything.
No, I know, but Martin Luther King meant so much to me as far as growing up in school. He's always been one of my heroes that has did so much for the country and for our people across America and globally. So the vision came about while delivering mail up and down our Martin Luther King Street in St. Louis. And I'm just looking at the abandoned buildings and the open air drug markets that's going on at the time. And I noticed it's a street about a mile away from our MLK Street, which is called Del Mar Boulevard in St. Louis, which used to be a kind of crime ridden street. That street was starting to be redeveloped. And I started to see activity. I started to see businesses being coming back to that area. And it's so funny that right as you cross Del Mar, they call it the Del Mar Divide. And if anybody's been to St. Louis, they'll know what I'm talking about. Once you cross over Del Mar, prosperity starts to begin. So I'm driving down Martin Luther King Street, and it just hit me. I'm looking at all this destruction that's going on, and I looked at the street sign, and it just did not coincide with what Dr. King stood for. It's kind of like a slap in Dr. King's face to be represented in that light. It should be beautified. It should be a beautiful street. Everyone should want to come to this street when you come to a city across America. There should be businesses. It should be thriving. I mean, that's what Dr. King represented to me, and it just didn't sit well with what I was looking at that time.
You went a step further. As I was talking to you about you, you actually began to look at Martin Luther King streets on Google Maps all over the country, right?
Yeah. At that point, once the vision came, I started to think, I'm like, wow, is this going on all over America, or is this just St. Louis? But I've always reflected back to a joke that Chris Rock made. And he said, if you're on Martin Luther King Street, you better run. He kind of made a joke about it.
Right.
Kind of stuck with me. If you're on Dr. King Street, run. And that joke, it's not really funny, but that stuck in my mind. So I wanted to find out what's this going on all over the country. So at that point, that was about 2006 or so, I started to travel various MLK streets, and I took my digital camcorder and I hit the road. And I hit my first cities were Detroit, Gary, Indiana, Chicago. And I filmed these streets, got out and talked to residents and just tried to get their opinion on what they thought about what was going on. I've been to Houston, Dallas, Miami, Florida, Wilmington, Delaware, Washington, D.C., Tacoma, Washington, pretty much all over the country. And I discovered that the majority of these streets are in the same condition as our St. Louis MLK Street is. And that's just not fitting for a man as Dr. King's legacy to be represented in that negative light in the streets that bears his name. So we formed a nonprofit organization. We called it Beloved Streets of America because Dr. King always spoke on beloved communities. And so we called it Beloved Streets of America. And we formed a nonprofit to try to galvanize the country and the world globally around this initiative to bring back economics. And as we all remember, Dr. King, before he was an untimely death, he started to speak on economics right before he was assassinated. So I think by picking up the ball, if we can get everybody across the country and galvanize behind this initiative to contribute in any kind of resources that they have, we can start to change this narrative that's been placed on one of our greatest heroes' names and his streets.
Now, when you look at St. Louis and across the country, obviously something is going on in these communities. So is it the case, perhaps, that as you reflect on your growing up in St. Louis, that some of these communities, or at least they're in St. Louis, was once a much more thriving community, but ended being damaged because of disinvestment and neglect?
Yep, exactly. Dr. King Street, used to be a street called Eastern Avenue, and that was about in the 50s and the 60s. I was a young kid at the time, but when it was Eastern Avenue, it was bustling. I mean, people used to come from all over to go on Eastern Avenue to go to Woolworths and go to JCPenney stores, and mom and pop stores were thriving, you know. And it's ironically that in 1972, as the street started to decline, they changed the name to Dr. M. Martin Luther King Drive. And from that point on, from 72 to now, it's been a total just downtrodden street that left it in the condition that it is now. But it once was a bustling street. It was. And it's just ironic, you know, so to speak, that they changed the name to Dr. King in 72 as it was started to decline. So.
And what's the reaction been? I noticed when you and I talked that, you've been promoting this, CNN, MSNBC, you got some pretty powerful national publicity on this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so when we formed the name, formed our nonprofit 501c3 in 2010, we started to galvanize the community. We have an office located on Dr. Martin Luther King in Hamilton here in St. Louis. And I said, hey, you know, I don't want to be out somewhere far out talking about rebuilding Martin Luther King. I want to be right here in the heart of things and try to really engage with the community and try to get their mindset changed into a mindset that this can actually happen, you know, because a lot of times these people in these communities, they have been sold so many false dreams and false hopes. So we say, hey, let's get out here. So for about a year straight, we got out community drives, clothing drives for the kids, and we just giveaways and toy drives, just trying to uplift the community, cleanups and everything. You know, we actually had legacy walks where we actually walked up and down our Martin Luther King Street with about 200 of us saying, hey, let's change the conditions of these streets, you know. So during that time, we started to gain attention across St. Louis and also a national attention. So CNN picked up on us, MSNBC. We won the Rosa Parks Award from Washington University. We've been featured on USA Today and all kind of national, Harvard University, matter of fact, you know, they brought some students in. One of my good friends, Dan Doka, he's the professor at Harvard University, design school. He said, hey, you know, I heard about what you guys are doing down there in St. Louis. I want to bring my architect students down from Harvard to try to help with some design plans for you guys. So that was a good experience. They came down with like 21 students and they did designs. I still have those plans right now to this day that could really help with some rebuilding and revitalization things, efforts on our street here in St. Louis. So we actually looked at St. Louis and Washington, D.C., Martin Luther King Street, and we got some plans, you know, but the whole thing is right now is generating the resources needed. And from that point on, I actually met one of my good friends, David Harris, out of Harvard, Charles Hamilton Institute at Harvard Law. We kind of connected. We've been communicating over the last year, and we're really trying to put some things together as far as collaborations on really changing the stigma that's been placed on Dr. King Street. So we have been able to get.
And so how are the resources flowing? Are there some foundations? Are there some corporations? Well, are there who are taking an interest so that you begin to get some actual investment going in St. Louis as a pilot project?
Well, actually, the biggest thing that we had so far has been through Wells Fargo. We had a grant for our urban agriculture initiative because, as we know, a lot of these areas are food deserts where there's not a lot of fresh vegetables and fruit. So we were one of the bright spots has been getting a grant through Wells Fargo to produce our aeroponic system that we have right now that we're pushing to get out along these urban areas, which is a system that is you use a light mist. It actually grows 32 plants at a time. The mist, the nutrients actually goes directly to the root of the plant, and it can grow tomatoes, lettuce, all types of vegetables. And these vegetables will be like five times more fresher than the vegetables that you can get from these local stores that are in our urban communities that are being saturated with pesticides and chemicals that are causing alarming rates of diseases that's out here. Right. As far as that's been our main supporter, Wells Fargo, and it's one of those things where it needs to be a collaborative effort among everybody to get together, coming up with a collective effort to push and get this initiative out to where everybody can really, really understand what our concept is and what it is, you know.
Right.
Sometimes go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because we're about to run out of time, we certainly hope to help in whatever way you can. I actually found you by way of Dr. David Harris at the Harvard University Center for Law and for Race and Justice. And we certainly are looking forward to connecting you actually with Martin Luther King III, as I said before. I know he had a similar idea, and perhaps he can use the weight of his prestige and stature to, in fact, encourage some corporations, some foundations, and so forth, to provide the kind of seed money that's needed to help get that pilot, you know, strengthen it up off the ground, you know, in St. Louis. And we certainly look forward to you coming to interface with and to mix and mingle and share your story, your narrative, and the work, the incredible work you're doing at the National Emergency Summit that's coming up in just about 10 days. We'll be looking forward to seeing you in Newark, New Jersey.
I will be there. I'm excited. Like I said, I will be there, and I'm excited to have me on. I'm definitely delighted. And I know once we collaborate, I know that we can really, really make something happen and change the narrative that's been placed on Dr. King's legacy. You know?
And if people want to go to a website in order to sort of view your work, is there a website or information contact that you can give to our listening audience?
Yeah. Our website is being remodeled right now. But you can reach me at 314-814-1043. And our website is belovedstreetsofamerica.org. So we're in the process of getting a brand new, fresh look on our website. So if anyone wants to get involved in our initiative, which is called the National MLK Street Initiative, and they can reach me at 314-814-1043, any involvement that they want to get. And it's all about fostering collaborations. You know, that's how we get this job done. So,
all right. Okay. Well, Melvin White, we thank you so much for your effort. And again, we look forward to seeing you in just a little while in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you much.
I will.
Thank you so much for spending time with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. That was incredible. These are the kind of people that you'll be meeting, actually. You come out to the town hall meeting, you're going to meet incredible people like this from all over the country coming to Newark, New Jersey. And we're going to Newark, New Jersey because of the progressive policies of Roz Day Baraka, the Honorable Roz Day Baraka. Newark is becoming kind of the model. Doesn't mean that Newark is out of the woods. I mean, they're battling against this monster called gentrification like so many other communities are. But they're consciously, unlike some mayors and some administrations, doesn't mean that they won't, that they're not having problems, but there is an intentionality towards really trying to put together the kinds of policies that will counter gentrification. And so at the National Town Hall meeting, for example, you'll meet all of those people. They're all the people like Melvin, but also Dr. Julianne Malvo. You know her. She'll be there. Dr. Jeffrey Lowe, who's Associate Professor, Department of Urban Planning and Environmental Policy from Houston, Texas. Larry Hamm will be there, People's Organization for Progress. I'm going to have him on the air next week. Bishop Reginald Jackson, no stranger really to Newark, but he's now the president of the Council of AME Bishops out of Atlanta, Georgia. Ellen M. Lee, Director of Community and Economic Development from New Orleans. Charles Barron, our own Charles Barron, Assemblyman from East New York, will be there to showcase the work that's being there, done there. Samantha Master is a Black Youth 100 Project from Baltimore, Maryland, and she is really dynamic. They're doing incredible work all over the country. Willie Barney, president of the African American Empowerment Network from Omaha, Nebraska, has one of the most powerful community-based initiatives I've seen anywhere. And Reverend Dr. Sheraton Todd Yeary, Vice President, Chief Strategy for Engagement and Programs, the Rainbow Push Coalition, that's Reverend Jesse Jackson's organization from Chicago, Illinois, and Reverend Jonathan Weaver, founder and president of Collective Empowerment Group from Baltimore, Maryland. And you got it, Frederica Bay, Sister Frederica Bay, who's with the New Jersey Coalition for Due Process, but she's also with Wisdom. Y'all all know that, women in support of the Million Man March. So we're going to be throwing down on April 5th. That's the National Town Hall Meeting on Gentrification, the Negro Removal Program of the 21st Century. Where do we go from here? And it's going to be facilitated by my guests online, just joining us, and that is none other than, let me just make sure I've got him. Oh, I don't have him yet, so hopefully he'll be joining us. I had to be sure. We're trying to reach out for Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson, many of you see, not only listen to him on Sirius XM, Progress 125, I think it is, maybe 127, and that is with Make It Plain on Sirius XM. And he'll be, you know, moderating the town hall meeting. Sirius XM is going to either carry it live or record and rebroadcast. As of last Friday, its C-SPAN is looking seriously at covering the town hall meeting. It will be streamed. The City of Newark's Communications Department will be working with our team at Institute of the Black World 21st Century, as well as the tech team at New Jersey Institute of Technology to get the streaming together. And that's a beautiful place. I had not been there before, but it is a beautiful place. And that's on 150 Bleecker Street in University Heights there in Newark, New Jersey. Many of you in Newark, I'm sure, know where it is. And we'll be getting a phone number contact from the university so that people who are traveling will know how to get there. But, you know, if you plug it in, the 150 Bleecker Street, and that's New Jersey 07102. And again, it starts at 7 o'clock sharp. We ask people to get there early, limited capacity. So we really, really want a packed house. And of course, we'll be hearing from the Honorable Raj J. Baraka, as well as Danny Glover as well. This is going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome event dealing with one of the great issues facing Black people at this time. So again, it looks like we may not be able to connect with Mark Thompson for whatever reason. He's also become quite prominent on MSNBC. And because the Mueller report just came out, it's entirely possible that he may actually be on the air, because he's often on MSNBC with various programs. And I'm sure he's having to respond a great deal to the Mueller report, as I'm sure he did on this program this morning, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock a.m. So that may be why we've not yet reached him. And maybe we won't reach him, but that's not an issue on Talkback Vantage Point, because we have a listening audience, and our listening audience can join us in the conversation. We wanted him to comment his comments on the Mueller report, and we can throw that question open to our listening audience. We also wanted him to well, but say a word about the town hall meeting for that matter. But in addition to that, we wanted to also check with him in terms of, you know, he's been doing work on reparations for a long time. There's, you know, we want to get his perspective on it, his view about why the candidates are jumping on this now. But also, you know, as we detected last week, there's a little bit of debate and controversy. Some is a big debate. I mean, all kinds of, you know, on the internet, I guess there's almost a Twitter war that's erupted, you know, around this issue. And we wanted him to comment on that as well. But again, we have our listening audience out there, and we have the ability to turn to you. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a brief break, just a brief pause for the cause, and you can start to call in at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. And a couple of questions that we want to dwell on, unpack, if you will, for the next half an hour. And that is your comments about the Mueller report. What does it mean? And the issue of is the issue of impeachment off the table? Has Trump actually triumphed? What does it mean for the 2020 elections? So anybody is wants to comment on that subject, you can call us at 212-209-2877. In addition to that, you know, if you want to continue our conversation about reparations that we had last week, again, unfortunately, Mark Thompson is apparently not going to be able to join us, but we certainly can continue that conversation. So we're going to take a brief break and come right back to take your phone calls here on TalkBack Vantage Point. This is the Professor, Dr. Ron Daniels. Join us at 212-209-2877. Give us about 3 minutes, and we'll be right back.
This is Cindy Campbell, the First Lady of Hip Hop, co-host of the Midnight Ravers. For our Woman History Month, or should I say, Her History Month show, on Friday, March 29th, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., we will have Suzanne Kay, daughter of the legendary Diane Carroll. Suzanne will be sharing moments with us about life with her mother. We will also have Connie Winston, a talented actress who will talk about her one-woman show on the life of Lena Baker, who was an African-American woman that was executed by electric chair in the state of Georgia for defending herself against her white employer. So please, join us. Again, that's Friday, March 29th from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM for another Ravelicious Women's History Month show.
This month is the 40th anniversary of the nuclear disaster at Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania.
What happened then?
What's it like there now?
Why is the anniversary worth talking about?
Tune in to Ecologic on Tuesday, March 26th at 8 p.m. to hear from activists and experts from Pennsylvania,
Japan,
New York,
and Washington, D.C.
Right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM
and WBAI.org.
Everybody's wondering if mankind is cursed. His world needs.
Ci tansero un giorno te. Sedere la musa sciore oggi c'è. Sul hedge. Neckness at her heart.
Sego, John Kane here from WBAI's Let's Talk. Thursday, March 28th at 7 p.m., I am happy to bring back Jeff Dereen to the Brooklyn Commons with his special guest, Laura Kuji. Join us for a unique music experience with Jeff Dereen performing Beatles hits in Mohawk. Jeff lends his music skills and his language skills for a truly special evening. Laura will perform with Jeff in song and in her own spoken word performances. That's Thursday, March 28th at 7 p.m. at the Brooklyn Commons, 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. There is no charge for admission, but donations for WBAI and the performers is strongly encouraged.
Okay, we're back. And again, we first of all just want to say at least how excited I was and am to have that first interview with Melvin White, founder of Beloved Streets Project, where he is working to try to beautify, that's not really the appropriate term, sort of revitalize and get investment and bring back these Martin Luther King streets all across the country, which is really a way of combating gentrification, which is one of the key things that we'll be talking about for the next couple of weeks. I actually hope to have Chairman Larry Hamm. I haven't reached out to him yet, but I'm hope he'll make time for us next week because he'll be a part of the town hall meeting. By the way, he is also the New Jersey chairman for the Bernie Sanders campaign, and be interested to see what people think about that as well. But nonetheless, Melvin White's project, where he's really trying to beautify these streets. Those of you who just want to give him a shout and figure out more about it, then you can call him at 314-814-1043, 314-814-1043. And, of course, we're asking people to give us a shout-out today, give us a call on a range of topics. But number one, the Mueller report, what does it mean? In lots of different ways. Does it stop blunt impeachment? Should it blunt impeachment? What are the implications for the 2020 election, if any? Should the Democrats, will they overreach? Will this be a turnoff? Stunning report in some respects, but, you know, maybe not in other respects. So give us a call. And those who want to continue the conversation about reparations can certainly do so. 212-209-2877. Let's go to our listening audience right now. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hi, yes. My name is Chris Anderson.
You're on there.
I'm from Jersey City.
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. As far as the Mueller report goes, now, here's my issue. The person that did the summarization for Congress is basically a Trump supporter and a Trump loyalist.
Right.
The person was a part of Trump's cabinet and his campaign. So why should we be able to trust this gentleman who's already a Republican switch hand, basically?
So I feel
loyalty. And as a prior federal employee, there's no way I feel loyalty to this person who's doing the summary. I don't trust his words. I'd want the full report divested.
Full report. All right. Well, I think there's a lot of people, even there are many Republicans who are asking for the full report because I think somehow they believe that it will be, quote unquote, as Trump has said, a full exoneration. But the report sort of didn't say that, actually. So in any event, we appreciate your perspective, and others can give us a call also at 212-209-2877. I understand we have another caller online. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, good afternoon. One of the most insidious aspects of gentrification is state laws across the country called guardianship and conservatorship. Ron, when you were approached with some substantive way to
we're really talking about gentrification. We're not talking about your long-standing grievances. Thank you very much. All right, others can give us a call at 212-209-2877. Again, Mark Thompson, actually, he's just hitting me up. Perhaps he is now available. We'll try to reach him again. Maybe he can enter the conversation. He did seem to be busy, so we're going to try him again. But in the interim, let's go back to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I was just waiting for someone to answer the $64,000 question, whatever they call that, Mueller to answer the question. Why he didn't go ahead and make the ruling and he passed it off at the bar, whether or not to do other things or something like that. Like, he should have been, you know what I mean? Like, other crimes that he found or whatever. Isn't he supposed to go after them and now bar's going to go after them or something like that? In other words, he should have made a rule. He just plunked it into Trump's guy's hands. That's what, you know, isn't that how it went?
Yeah, I think what happened there was at least he left it open. He left it open for Congress, I think is what he was trying to do. He was saying, because there is this Justice Department ruling that says it's not a ruling and it's not the law, frankly, that you cannot indict a sitting president. But of course, that could be taken to court. So it was kind of, you know, this is a highly respected man, but it was kind of the cowardly way to do that. You know, but I don't think he really meant for Barr to then make the decision. I think he was punting it to Congress to say, Congress, you take this and you find out and you decide, you know, how to move forward with this information. But of course, Barr did decide. And of course, he had already written that he was, he wasn't favorable to the proposition. He tried to disclaim it once he was in his confirmation hearings. But by any reasonable standard, he is not a neutral person whatsoever. And so it was really, really, you know, and by the way, the collusion was always going to be somewhat difficult. I mean, but by the way, you got two things going. You got the criminal standard, but you also now have that which is impeachable, which does not rise to the level of necessarily a criminal offense. It's high crimes and misdemeanors. And the perception of the Congress of the United States is how that would fall out. But on the issue of obstruction, as you said before, and everybody has said, he said he was not exonerated. But then Barr came in, you know, and interjected himself in a way that was really, really not helpful. So it's controversial. We'll see where it all goes. So thanks much for your call. I understand that we do now have Mark Thompson on the line. Mark Thompson, you there?
I am here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Sorry we missed you. I thought maybe, you know, this is a busy day for you, because I'm sure you've been interviewed time and time again about the Mueller report. And we've taken a few callers. We'll take a few more. But we certainly want to get your perspective and your initial take on the Mueller report.
Well, it's troubling, but not really surprising. I believe that Barr came in to shut down the Mueller investigation. Remember, a week ago, we were hearing that Michael Flynn and Rick Gates and others were still cooperating with the special counsel's office. What changed in a week? How did that cooperation abruptly end, even if it ended, to bring about the conclusion of the special counsel's investigation? Flynn hasn't been sentenced yet. Stone hasn't been sentenced yet. If there was no collusion, why were a couple of dozen Russians indicted? Why was Stone indicted? Why is Maria Butina still in jail? Also, what seems to be bizarre is for Mueller to have allegedly said, and really we don't have the Mueller report. We have Barr's summary. Barr of
right.
Iran-Contra, Barr of the U.S. attorney firing scandal. His summary says no collusion, but inconclusive on obstruction. Well, if you have not concluded that he did not obstruct, how can you conclude that there was no collusion? Because the obstruction was around the collusion investigation. So if you're not sure whether there was an obstruction or not, then you can't be certain whether or not he colluded, because if it's a 50% chance he obstructed, there's equally a 50% chance you don't have all the evidence when it comes to investigating the collusion. So none of that makes any sense. Again, it's disappointing, but no surprise. I think that unfortunately, all of the hype around this investigation has left those who don't support Trump, frankly, has left all of us a bit demoralized. Reverend Dr. William J. Bobby was on my show this morning, Dr. Daniels, and I asked him for a word about it. He said, basically, when has a report ever saved us? And he asked me, name a report, brother, that has ever saved our people. I said, you got a point. You got a point. So we've got to just continue to press forward for justice, for an end to voter suppression. Trump will get his due in due time. But again, it is disappointing. And it also shows, I think, I agree with everyone who's saying release the full report, but I don't know how much stock I put in that either. Remember now, the day before Mueller was appointed special counsel, Trump was interviewing him to take over the FBI. People, again, people forget that.
Right.
So this is a boys, this is a white boys fraternity, a white boys club. They're going to look out for each other. There is a different system of justice. We saw that in the sentencing of Manafort. And this individual got away with what he got away with. Now, for the Democrats, a lot of the conversations have been about what happens now. Does this vindication, air quote vindication, make it tougher to beat Trump? Does it guarantee his reelection? More and more people now saying that, well, maybe you do need a Biden to run now. Maybe you need a white, an older white man taking on an older white man. I don't know. I think the voters will have to decide. But it's a sad day for justice in America. We saw him say, we heard him say, Russia, if you can get the emails, they took the meeting in Trump Tower. He asked,
yeah, absolutely.
James, he asked James Comey to leave Flynn alone, and then he fired him. I mean, to be black in America, knowing how we are judged and tried on the street, how can this be? How can this right. not be clear cut? So, but again, no report has saved us, as Dr. Barber said. We're just going to have to keep plugging away, fighting for the, and not put our faith in the Justice Department at this point.
All right, quickly, want to shift to another topic, to one. Just wanted to, I've been telling people that that you're our go-to moderator for all of these big events, and we certainly are honored that you're going to be facilitating the national town hall meeting coming up and on gentrification. And just quickly, just some of your thoughts about, as you, your listeners are calling, but as you travel the country, how do you see this phenomenon that well, you're from Washington, D.C., and by the way, you know, there was a recent right. report that said Washington, D.C. was the hardest hit of any city on gentrification.
D.C. used to, we used to know D.C. belovedly, lovingly as Chocolate City, and
right.
now at best is Chocolate Chip. And
oh, I ain't funny, but I hear you.
It is, and I mean, we saw that happening. We're seeing it everywhere. And I'll be honest with you now, even here in this city, in New York, people can no longer afford to live in cities.
Right.
Even some white middle-class folk can't, Dr. Daniels. So you know what that means for us. White folks barely getting by living in these expensive cities. Black folks get pushed all the way out. And it seems to me, without any interest in preserving the culture of these cities. You look at Harlem now. The history of Harlem, the black history of Harlem, is now relegated to murals and graffiti on walls, which is beautiful. Mm. Don't get me wrong.
Right,
but
right.
It doesn't really reflect the history of that place. Washington, D.C., the black history. You know, all of that is gone, and it shows historically how we are not self-determining when it comes to our migration of late. If someone else is deciding where you live and work, you're not empowered. You're not in control. And we can talk all day long about power the black vote, power the black vote. But if we can't control that, then we have a very, very serious problem. And, you know, this land, the gentry coming back into the city. So, okay, now you're in the cities. I remember when they were in the cities before, and they pushed us out. Then we came back when the cities deteriorated. Okay, black folk, you can go back into the city. So it's like it's cyclical. 20 years from now, they may decide, if white folk decide, oh, we want to move back out to the suburbs, Y'all come back into the city. I mean, so that's not living. That's not humanity. Folks just up and decide, well, we're going to live on their own whim, on their own decision, after all we've invested in these communities. So this is a conversation worth having. Everyone is talking about it. Whenever major city you go into, I mark my words, I know everybody can relate to this listening. Go home or you go to a city you grew up in, it ain't the same city anymore. What's it like? What's happening? Where's everybody gone? All of this has changed. Detroit hollowed out, but now it's making a comeback. Why? Because of gentrification. You know,
that's right.
And a part of it, too, is us being self-educated. Because, look, man, and you know this yourself. Well, one of the things that was going on in D.C. is that folk had had mom and daddy's houses downtown for years. And then white folks came along and offered people big money for mom and daddy's houses, and they gave it up very easily. You know, we talk about reparations, too. The struggle is for land, holding on to a little bit of land we got. And some of us just should not have done that. Some of us should have kept mom and daddy's land and kept mom and daddy's house, not even imagining. If they want to give you this amount 10, 15 years ago, some of those homes today are worth millions of dollars.
That's right.
And those were mama and daddy's homes. So part of this is not just public policy. It's us thinking, and now everybody regrets it. Everybody's living in PG County and regrets putting themselves in that situation. So we've got to be smarter. We've got to be more unified on this, and we've got to have conversations about it, about how others are benefiting from our communities that we built, that we labored in, that we raised our children in. We can't be you can't just be a transient population forever wanderers. You can't. That's not a way from slavery to the Great Migration to moving us, giving up the cities for us to move into in the 40s and 50s and 60s. Okay, now we want the cities back. Y'all got to move out to the suburbs. And like I said, 20 years from now, they decide they want the suburbs back. We're going to have to get out of there, too. That's not that's not a self-determining people. And if we're going to be self-determining, we've got to address this. So I commend you and IBW21 always having these cutting-edge conversations. And it begins with the conversation. I wish we could have this meeting and have the solution and implement it right there on the spot. But we're not even having the conversation in a holistic way like we should. And you've got a great group of panelists involved in this. And so I hope that this conversation will lead ultimately to some real change and some real policy to do something about gentrification. Urban renewal is Negro removal.
That's right. Well, look, we thank you so much for being there for us and for SiriusXM, you know, being there as well to either record or broadcast it live. That'll certainly amplify the message. You know, we look forward to, we're almost there, and it's, we're going to pack the house, and we look forward to you being there. So I'm going to let you go now so you can go back and do some more interviews, and I'm going to get a few more calls on before we go off the air. So thank you so much. Really appreciate you being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate you, sir.
All right. We did get Mark Thompson plugged in, and again, you know, we got this big town hall meeting. We'll have some PSAs running on WBAI about it. But it is the national town hall meeting, Gentrification, the Negro Removal Program of the 21st Century. Where do we go from here? Hosted by the Honorable Roz J. Baraka. And the special keynote speaker will be none other than Danny Glover. I did a rip through some of the outstanding panelists. It will be at the New Jersey Institute for Technology in Ballroom A of the Campus Center. That's 150 Bleecker Street, University Heights, New Jersey, 07102. You can't afford to miss this amazing, amazing event. And we're going to have some local panelists as well. So let's go back quickly. We got about 6 minutes. See, can we squeeze a couple more callers in to talk about the Mueller report or gentrification as well? And 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877 for just a couple more minutes. Probably can squeeze two callers in. 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
No one yet, Professor.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody on the line there. We may not get a caller in now because we just got 5 minutes left. But for those who want to call in, you certainly can. We can squeeze maybe two callers in before we go off the air. 212-209-2877. This is a big issue all across the country, and it is one that we need to deal with.
We got another caller.
We've been pushed all over the place. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello. Thank you, brother. Hello?
Yes, we Hello? Hear you. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Hey, man, it's a great show, brother, man. Thank you for all your great work. This is Brother Mark from Quad City.
Okay.
And I appreciate your guests and the information. What, you know, brother, I'm 60 years old, and, you know, just been here a few minutes. But I've been doing a little bit of studying about real estate and ownership, and I think our people, we fall every 20, 30 years because we don't understand the true nature of land ownership. We just don't. Nor do we want to take the time to know what it really is. And then when we find out what it really is, we just kind of like say, well, that's just too much for me to do. You understand? So then we slip back into the conundrum of paying rent, being cooperative. You see what I'm saying? Kind of squeezing into these projects. A project means just that. It's a project. It's not ownership of the land. So, you know, brother, I'm saying all I have to say, brother like Danny Glover, I would like to hear him talk about to the masses of the people about ownership, you see, or somebody do something of that nature. Now, you know, it's a broad topic, but we need a projectile of understanding the land and our connection to it from blood source. And then we'll begin to not being told by Europeans, you can't live here.
Right.
Thank you, brother.
Well, that's what's happening, unfortunately. That's what's happening. They're displacing black people and black culture. And this is particularly true for poor and working class black people, but even some in the struggle of middle class. And some people, as you said before, as Mark Thompson pointed out, were seduced. So they... You know, somebody came in and offered them a half a million, like 500,000. Now that same unit is one worth 1.5 million, 2 million, you know. So, you know, we have to, like you said, study, understand real estate, understand property, and do what Malcolm said. We have to control the politics and the economics of our community. Look, my brother, appreciate your call.
We got one more caller.
Well, okay, let's get that caller in. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon, Ron. It's George Walters from Project Equality and LaGuardia Community College. How you doing?
We're doing fine. Doing fine.
Do you recognize my voice? Do you remember who I am?
I do. I actually do. Yes.
Oh, okay. Good. I'm glad. I came in at the end of the broadcast, and I'm interested in going to the event in Newark, but I don't have the details.
Yeah. Well. The town hall meeting is going to be on, and we'll be putting the information out in greater detail, but it'll be on April 5th, and that's at 7 o'clock p.m., and it's going to be at the New Jersey Institute of Technology, which is and it'll be in Ballroom A of the Campus Center, and that's 150 Bleecker Street on University Heights. And if you Google it, it's New Jersey, it's 07102. We will have a phone number for you to call in the next 24 hours. I've just asked them to give us an information number on campus, simply because very often people, when you're navigating a campus, it's a little harder than this maybe going to a community-based church or community center, and you can get lost on campuses. People in New Jersey probably likely know where that is because they've had other big events there. But we have a tremendous panel. It'll be hosted by the Honorable Raj J. Baraka, who will actually speak, and Danny Glover will be there as well. Mark Thompson, who you just heard, will be the moderator for it. But we'll be getting back to you with lots of information in the next 10 days, okay? George, appreciate it. So stay tuned. All right, my brothers and sisters, that's going to have to be our show for today. We appreciate it. I'm trying to get a couple of technical difficulties resolved. We hope things are coming through clear. So on my end, so we're trying to straighten that out. But nonetheless, great guests, great conversation. We'll see you again here next week on Talkback Vantage Point, 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with YCRadio.org.
Time is really wasted. There's no guarantee.
Can go to Marble Church.
Smiles in the making. We gotta fight the powers that be.